Hello, hello, Kopi Kemilu Podcast, episode 48. On this episode, we have Khairul Azim, co-founder of K&A Creatives. Detailed story of the come up of Khairul Azim in starting his company, in getting his music done at 16, 17, to touring Southeast Asia, almost opening a cafe. Circumstances didn't allow him to proceed. All these undocumented moments, the rise and fall and rise of Khairul Azim. Probably, most likely, if you're listening this on Spotify, you can check us out on Instagram. Of course, you can follow us there at Hello Hello Kopi Ke Milo. But, you know, if you want to control macho and you don't want to let people see that you follow, you know, Kopi Ke Milo Podcast, then you can stream us on YouTube. The visuals will be back. I see a lot of people asking for the visuals. So, yeah, youtube.com/MiloFico.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Drake. I enjoy playing live shows and they call me Champagne Papi.
Drake. Wow, bro.
Yeah, I know.
That's
it's tough for Milo to fly me in.
Luke.
But he made it happen. It's finally happening, man.
Like after 1 year.
Yeah, after 1 year, we finally made it out this far. Yeah. So glad.
Enjoy episode 48. 48. Hello Kopi Ke Milo Podcast. Rule Zing.
This is Hello Hello Kopi Ke Milo Podcast. Today we have the guest of honor.
Hi guys, I'm Khairul.
Nice Khairul Azim. What is up, bro?
All good, man. Thanks for having me.
Been a while. What's up, Drake?
Yeah, it's been a while. What has it been? 1 year?
Yeah, it's been a year. What, since when?
Since we last spoke on WhatsApp.
No, 2 years. 2 years?
2 years. 2 years. 2 years.
But I tried getting you on a year ago, man. You were part of the early guest that I had in mind.
Right.
You have so much. You have achieved so much, man, in such a short period of time, bro.
Yeah, I try, man. I try. Yeah.
Who are you, man? Who is Khairul Azim, and how would you describe yourself, bro?
Khairul Azim. Yeah. Loud, extroverted.
Extrovert.
Right. Obnoxious sometimes. But all in all, I think if I were to describe myself, I'd be somebody who's always trying to look for opportunities, you know, always trying to, you know, go the mile, push boundaries, and also trying my best to get other people involved.
Right.
You know, just turned 25.
Just turned 25.
Yeah.
Wow.
2 weeks ago.
Cool.
So it's been good, you know. Went on that small trip before I started my full-time job. So I'm pretty much just chilling. Not as intense as before.
Yeah.
Right? But it does spike every now and then.
Mm.
You know, it's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how was your childhood like, man? Were you born and raised in Subang?
Yes, cool. I grew up in USJ 5 actually.
USJ 5.
Yeah, and then USJ 17. And then Putra Heights, you know, I went to school in USJ 13.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was Form 1 till Form 5.
USJ 13, yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah, so shout out to all of my fellow USJ 13 boys who will be watching this. The teachers who hated me most of the time. Yeah. Shout out to you guys as well.
Have you been like a rebel student? Like, fuck the rules, fuck the system?
I don't know, man. Honestly, I'm not gonna give bad advice to everyone who's in school.
Okay.
You know, because school's great and you need that shit.
Yeah.
But I couldn't be fucked with school.
Yeah.
Right? I was, you know, probably like twice a week available. You know, 1-2 warning letters. I wasn't a bad kid or anything like that. I wasn't like, you know, smoking with the boys at the back or like ponteng sekolah, you know. Yeah. It's more of like, I just didn't want to go to school.
Yeah.
Just wanted to chill at home and, you know, watch American movies.
Like, were you the only child growing up in your family? Do you have siblings?
Oh shit, man, it's complicated.
Yeah.
So when I was 15, my parents got a divorce.
Mm.
Right. So my dad was remarried previously. He had a son. He got a divorce the first time. He married my mom, and well, my dad got my sister and myself, and then my parents got a divorce. Then my mom remarried. So wow. Like, technically, if you look at the whole organization,
look at the chart.
If you look at the chart, yeah. I'm like number 2, but technically I'm number 1 lah, like the sulung in the family.
Right.
Yeah, but I do have like other step siblings.
But I guess you always had someone with you, or is it mostly friends who are sort of your your gang back in high school?
Well, I think when my parents got a divorce, that was when a lot of things kicked in for me. Because my parents were separated in a way whereby it was kind of messy for the first year and a half, and you know, they were just trying to get things together, and they eventually did, right? And then my mom remarried a year after. I spent a lot of my times in music. Right, I was part of a band.
Of a
band, multiple bands. So I think music really helped me out from the time I was 15 up to like 19. That was like my true realization, I feel, in terms of like seeing the world, traveling, meeting new people, connecting, and learning things that allowed me to like do what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for like music, man.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful. Although it was just like, you know, to many people, metalcore and gibberish and like.
No, because
whatever.
Like, I think without you knowing, right?
Yeah.
In spite of you having your business going on and you having making a brand out of yourself, making a name for yourself, I think you've already established that way in high school. I think people know you for being a musician, right?
Yeah, well, it's cool. I mean, you know, we had like, I was 16 when we were on hits, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I remember and that. I was aware of that.
And
it was the music video phase.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And it was insane because like we had people like Edwin Raj and you know, Johnny.
He's a producer.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And you know, Sam Kuman, like freaking telling us like, oh, this is what you gotta do in the video, papa. I was like, okay. But it felt like, you know, you're in high school. And you get that shit, and you're just like, wow, fuck school.
Yeah.
But you can't fuck school as well at the same time, right? You still gotta go. But you just feel like, oh shit, I've accomplished something, you know, beyond what I'm actually learning in school, right? In terms of meeting people, actually materializing stuff. And it was crazy because when that happened for us, we had to literally take our iPad and our handphones. We even stopped by a Gloria Jeans, which had like a computer set up that time for customers at Suburban Break one time. And we just got people in to like stop by and say, hey, we're doing this, yada yada yada, can you help vote for us?
Wow.
So like at that very point of time as well, that mini hustle was already kicking in.
Yeah, it was developed early.
Yeah,
because
we really wanted it. You know, and then everything else from there was just kind of like history.
How did it all begin? I mean, everyone has the aspiration to be a musician, like to start something, be it a 20-something or 30-something or the kids in high school right now. Yeah. Right? But how was the process like of having that idea into creating something? Or how do you actually was chosen to be the front man of the band, man?
Oh, man. Number one, I couldn't play any instruments.
Okay.
I mean, I could play the bass for a bit. That's it, man. But number two, I think you kind of need that charisma, knowing like we're writing stuff based on like purpose.
Mm.
So at that point of time, like I think we wrote. I mean, I personally wrote a lot of stuff in the album. We wrote a lot of stuff based on like you know, the system and why we don't like it and why we choose to be this kind of kid in school, you know, why we choose to rebel every now and then. It's just, you know, one of those phases where like you want to go all out ape shit, right?
Yeah.
But versus like, you know, the entertainers now, the rappers now, I mean, like hip hop's huge now.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I have so much respect for all these people right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they started like way back in the day, 10 years ago.
Yeah. And then they had no traction back then.
They had no
right?
traction, you know, social wasn't even real, you know, you didn't have ads. Right. Yeah. And now they're booming because, not because of what they are now, but because of what they were 10 years ago, you know, 15 years ago.
Mm.
You know, they put in the hustle and all the work. So, I mean, coming back to my point of being the front man, I think that was what we did. But I just didn't follow up with that fully as a career. And I never really saw it as like, oh, this is what I'm going to end up to become.
Mm.
Yeah.
But how was the process? Like, I guess most of them are your friends.
Oh yeah,
we're
buddies.
And then they wanted to start something, and they're looking for a frontman, and then they look up to you. Or did you volunteer?
Well, I kind of volunteered. I could say I probably had, you know, some singing skills.
Nice.
Probably had some singing skills until, you know, I kind of fucked it up.
Oh,
you know,
Wow, then, so the whole shouting and screaming fucked it up?
No, I mean, I was singing normally and then I went into the whole screaming stuff.
Oh, right.
So I couldn't sing anymore.
Damn.
You know, we had to get Johan to sing.
Oh.
Right? So, I don't know, it just worked out that way. And I think it's also important, like, for most people who want to select a frontman, to be able to choose a frontman that can really write. You know, the last thing you would want is for other people in the band to write for the vocalist.
Yeah.
You know, I get it, like, people ghostwrite and people, you know, produce for a lot of other artists and stuff like that, but it's always essential to get the frontman to be able to write.
Mm.
So when he can write, he can actually, like, you know, work better with, like, the guitarists and the drummers, and then go into the studio, it's far easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it also comes down to the charisma you mentioned, right?
Oh, yeah, stage presence.
Yeah, I mean, the frontman has to be the leader of the movement, the band.
Yeah.
They have to be the voice, like, yeah, not just singing wise, but correct, also the whole branding. Stuff,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
And you kind of have to think about a whole lot of things. Like, we did a lot of marketing back in the day. Like, I don't know how we got it. Like, I mean, back in the day, it was huge for me. Like, 16,000 organic likes on Facebook.
Damn.
You know, and we didn't use no ads. And then, you know, we were very active on Twitter, trying to get the word out. And shows back in the day, like, when you talk about, like, metal, like, post-hardcore, or whatever it may be, shows were popping up, like, every week.
Yeah.
We had tons of shows back in the day. We had tons of venues. You know, it's different now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's different now. The scene has changed.
There was a cusp of it, right? Like, everything started to change, like, after high school.
Correct.
And you were there during that phase.
Yeah, yeah. That phase was crazy. I mean, we looked up to a lot of local bands and also international bands. And it was just insane because people were really supporting that movement then.
Mm.
Versus now,
why do you feel like it's not your calling though? The whole movement, the whole
right,
music thing. Because like, from what I can see, that was actually you're almost there, man.
Right,
you're almost there. If you want something in life, you easily could have done it.
Yeah,
you could have made it to the States or something. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
In my opinion, yeah. What caused you to switch
right,
and change lanes?
I guess, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I mean, we traveled a lot around Asia.
Yeah.
We had quite a following. And it was great and all. But I guess what really moved me was the fact that it wasn't very sustainable, you know, and that kind of hit me hard because I was thinking between going to law school.
Wow.
And like balancing out music and knowing that I have to skip like a lot of classes and knowing that, you know, it's time to invest in my future the right way.
Mm.
You know, because I think passion is so important, you know, like, and I tell this to everyone, passion is so important, but there's also going to be like a point of time or a point in time where certain realities kick in, right?
Yeah.
And when those realities kick in, like, you do a lot of evaluation and you kind of ask yourself, like, what's important and what's not very important. So I guess for me at a point of time, I didn't really see it as a stepping stone towards, you know, my future.
Mm.
It was just one of those, like, you know, we had a good run. Like a relationship, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out. We had a good run, 4 to 5 years. It's time to move on.
Oh, shit. How was the decision-making process?
Oh, it was tough, man. It was tough on the boys.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was tough on the band. Because you could probably find a guitarist, like, anytime, or like a bassist anytime, a drum anytime. I'm not saying like those professions or instruments are, you know, are easy or whatever that may be, but it's more of like, you know, finding a vocalist is not just about him being able to like sing or scream. You know, you gotta find the tone of the tone and manner, you know, for the crowd as well.
Mm.
Like when a certain audience of your own or a certain like crowd of your own already likes you because of that stage presence or like, you know, what the vocalist exudes. It's tough to get that back, you know? You have to search really hard.
And then they managed to?
They found a couple of other vocalists.
Okay.
But, you know, it didn't... I'm not sure if they...
But it didn't work out as well, I think.
I mean, my opinion, I mean, nothing against those vocalists.
All right.
But in my opinion, it wasn't as impactful.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so the whole... switching lanes thing, was that when Menaj started out?
Oh yeah, and then we had the clothing brand, right?
So that was the point where you decided to make something more meaningful in life.
Yeah, so
that was the reason behind it.
Yeah,
right?
So I was 19.
Wow.
shit, man. I I was 19. I dropped out from
law
from college, law school.
Were you doing law? Okay.
Yeah, dropped out. Wasn't very happy with myself, actually. I wasn't very disciplined with a lot of things. And then what happened was I just decided, like, you know, I'm going to take a gap year. I'm going to travel.
Mm.
So there was this one trip I made to Bali, and then I read this book by Blake McCloskey, the owner of Tom Shoes.
Yeah.
So it was like, the book was called Do Something That Matters.
Right.
So I read that book on the plane. I finished it on the plane, a 3-hour ride. I don't know how the fuck I did that, but it was just so good. I read it until the end. And then I said, like, I was asking myself, like, fuck, man, like, when are you going to do something that actually gives you meaning every day when you wake up? So that was when I said, like, okay, I've printed some merch back in the day. You know, I know some costing. Why not come up with something?
Mm.
So I came up with a brand, and then I said, like, you know what? Okay, for everything that I sell, I'm going to start donating to the homeless.
Damn.
You know?
And then you just went for it.
Like, I just went for it. I literally just put up a blog. I started writing on the blog. And then I had a small Facebook page, Instagram page. And I had... So it was fucking crazy, right, bro? Because sometimes you do things and, like, when you really want it, like, you would just go the mile.
Mm.
So I was working at Fossil at a point of time, sales rep. I carried a sticker with me around every day. Oh, fuck, man, I still remember. I carried a sticker with me around every single day during my 6-month term. And all I did was during my break, and that 1 hour was, I took that sticker, I approached someone randomly, I said, hey, tell me something about yourself. And I just got him to, like, tell me his story. He would take the sticker up, take a photo, put it on Instagram. People just started like, fuck, man, that's cool. You know, like, that's nice, you're sharing stories, not just, you know, selling clothes.
Yeah.
So I kind of built purpose from that.
Oh, so that whole thing wasn't a Menaj movement yet. There was a spark of it.
It was, yeah, that was a spark of it. All because right. I was very inspired by Humans of New York. You know, Brandon is just, like, insanely epic.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he gets the time to go around and do that, you know.
I guess he does it.
Full time.
Yeah. He's doing it full time.
Yeah. So I was very inspired by the way he did things. And I said, like, hey, you know what? That can be applied everywhere as well. Mm. Not just in America, you know.
Do you think like Brandon, you mentioned Humans of New York, do you think it's important to prioritize and focus on one thing because I realized while you were doing music, you weren't doing all these charity stuff, this Menaj thing. And then when you stopped music, you were doing Menaj. Is that an important trait or important formula to follow?
I guess it really depends, right? Because when you're starting out, like, you do when you start out, you have one thing that you're so focused on.
Mm.
But then as time goes by, like, you will then realize that sometimes a lot of your focus points shift, right? And it shifts because of many things. It could be financial means. It could be, like, you know, a lack of product development. It could be a lack of resource,
right.
Yada, yada. So I guess for me, like, when I was with the band, it was a lack of sustainability. Right, I couldn't see myself having this as a full-time job. And then there's also, like, the part of going to school while having my small startup, which was the clothing brand. And then also later on, knowing that it was just not sustainable as well, because I didn't have enough capital to go in volume.
Right.
I couldn't bring my prices down, and then the market just couldn't accept buying it, you know, despite even knowing that there was a cause behind it. It didn't really move people as much. So again, it's perception and education for, like, people in general too, right?
Yeah.
Like, if people feel something towards charity or, like, feeling the homeless, taking care of animals, whatever it may be, not everyone shares that sentiment.
Yeah.
So you only capture, like, maybe 20% of a certain audience, lah.
Mm.
So that was when I kind of realized that, hey, this is also kind of not working out. I've had many things that didn't work out, man.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta try everything and decide for yourself, right?
Absolutely.
But the good thing about you is that you tried everything early, man. I mean, you're only 25. Yep. I mean, I'm sure you feel it yourself, like, you've been on a heck of a ride.
Oh yeah, it's insane.
And like you said, 16. So everything happened in the last 9 years, bro. You were 16 in the band, and then whatever happens between these 9 years, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, 16 until 25. Yeah. It's been crazy. Not gonna lie, man.
Yeah.
I feel I'm going crazy sometimes. My craziest years would probably be, like, 20 to, like, 24.
Yeah. I guess you grew the most then.
Yeah. I learned a lot during this period of time.
Yeah. I noticed one quality trait about you is that you execute well, man. Like, you have an idea, you just execute.
Right.
What is the secret to develop that soft skill?
Right. So, this question is tough, bro. Well, I guess for me, it's just knowing what you want and then knowing how to get there, right? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say that I've been able to execute things just on my own. Mm. I would say that no matter what you're doing, if you want to start something out, you've always got to, you know, think about what can I do on my own, but how can this go on even if I'm not there? Mm. Know what I mean? Because a lot of times, like, us as entrepreneurs or hustlers, if you may call them, we do a lot of things that are just so dependent on us that we forget to delegate and we forget to, like, replicate that.
Yeah.
So I guess 20 till 24, I think I've been able to do all these things also because of my partner Azrul.
Yeah.
Right? Shout out to him, man.
Yeah, Azrul.
He came in at a very early time with me. Like, he helped me out a lot from the time I was like 19 until 24.
Right.
And I'm so grateful because he literally went through everything with me. And I was able to execute a lot of things because of his patience also and, you know, his skill set.
Mm.
And whenever we had a roadblock, whenever we had setbacks, like, he would always be the calmer one. I'm just the crazier one. You don't do things on your own. And I've grown to learn that a lot of great things happen not because of one guy, not because of yourself, but because you have like a solid team, or like you have like a pool of people that you can count on, and you execute on those ideas. But the base level is that if you're the one coming out with the idea, you're the one pushing those boundaries, you would always have to be that traffic person to say, hey, we're here right now, this is where we have to be, let's say by May, by June, July, yada, yada, yada.
Mm.
You need a timeline for that. Because most people set goals, but most people don't execute on them because they do not have a set deadline.
Right.
You know, and the next time it becomes a conversation, it's just like, okay, yeah, we'll fix this, pop, 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 and then nothing ever gets done.
So deadlines are important.
Oh, man, that's like the biggest thing in life.
So how do you apply that when you were doing the music with a lot of band members and stuff? Do you actually consciously tell them, like, okay, we need to get songs done by this day, this
day? Oh, yeah, like, you know, pre-production especially, like, we would be talking about the 12 tracks that we have.
Oh.
And, like, you know, 6 done and we got 6 more and we've got, like, you know, a tour coming up and we have no fucking CDs to sell. What are we gonna do? Just go out there and give a demo again?
Yeah,
we've done this over the last 4 tours, man. Like, fuck that.
Oh.
You know, so I remember recording the album and finishing it, mastering it. Like, we literally slept in the studio for like 3 days straight.
Shit.
And we just fucking hustled, and you know, it turned out really well.
So the whole recording was in 3 days.
The mastering. Yeah, the final touches. You know, but the whole recording itself was probably like 6-7 months.
Shit. Damn, it's a lot of effort, man.
Yeah, 12 tracks. It's tough, man. It's tough, you know, especially like if you're doing creative stuff and you have creative people and, you know, you always have, you know, a bunch of guys who are always talented in what they do. But decision-making wise is also going to be quite a challenge because everyone's got a creative input.
Yeah, especially in like bands, right? Nowadays, people are embarking on a solo act, right? It will be a little bit easier, but... Yeah. Not really, you have like the management and all that,
exactly.
But with bands, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's always tough, man. In bands especially, like, you know, the creative input of that, you know, the thought process of a song or a track, or even the song lyrically, it goes a long way, man. It's not just like, oh, pum, 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 let's put out a track, let's get famous. No, man, you gotta think it through.
Yeah.
Like the whole concept of the album, you know, what do you want out from this? What do you want people to understand from, you know, your lyric videos, your music videos? You gotta think about all of that.
And you did a lot of that thinking.
Oh, yeah. Did a lot of that. Wow. You know, most of the time. With Ayman, most of the time. Ayman was also kind of like the brand guy in that.
Yeah.
During that time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So after Minaj, like the transition between... is there a transition from Minaj to K&A Creative?
Oh, yeah.
Or was that part of the same...
It's so funny, man. You know, I went back to school. I went back to do business, commerce. And then while I was studying, I was like, I was in class, right? And then we had a topic on social media.
Mm.
And I was like, fuck, man. Like, this is new.
Okay.
You know, this is new to Malaysians, lah. You know, at that point of time. And then so I said, like, I told Azrul, I was like, yo, dude, what do you think about, like, I mean, we've been doing design and, you know, videos and...
For Minaj, right?
Yeah, and copywriting and, you know, stuff like that, production. Like, why don't we just try this out on one or two people, see if they like it.
Mm.
So we got our first two gigs, two clients.
Yeah.
And then somehow we had an email one day coming in and somebody dropped us an email saying, like, hey, I want to work with you guys, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, from America. And I was like, flipping. I was like, the fuck? You can't be serious, bro. We just put some shit out and, like, you know, somebody wants to, like, scout us out like that. I was like, okay, here, give it a shot. So she came down. We met, blah, blah, blah. We did a couple of videos. It was good and all. And then it just so happened that she was launching a book. Right? And
if I'm not mistaken, if I can recall, it's Anita.
Yeah, Anita. Yeah, she's doing great right now. Yeah. So.
Wow.
So, yeah, shout out to her. and the Mind Valley peeps. So, so while that was happening, we also got referred to Mind Valley. You know, just me.
Oh, it's from a separate entity.
Yeah. Okay. But they were all affiliated in a way.
Right.
And then we got a gig with Mind Valley doing stuff as Entrepreneur. And I was like, fuck, man, this is moving a bit too fast.
Yeah.
You know? And then...
This was before even the company started? Or
I mean, this was even before Snapbaha was incorporated, man. We were just like fucking freelancers.
You're always doing that, like, guerrilla kind of approach,
and,
right?
And I didn't know jack shit, man. I didn't know anything about, like, what the fuck's, like, what the fuck are show notes, you know? Like, you know, what's a call sheet, you know? What's a content calendar? I didn't know nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And so we just had to, like, do it very freestyle, lah. Or, like, Malays would say langgar, lah. You know, and just learn from there, right? So, what happened was, there was this one time, I still remember this, man. I was on the train, I got a call from her, and she was like, hey, pop, looking to launch a book, yada, yada, yada. What would it cost if, you know, we did it here? I was like, hey, you know what, like, let's not talk about cost here. What if you brought us to America instead. You know, I tried my luck, and 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, we were in New York, man.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
And that's how it happened, man. And that's how everything happened. Like, four freaking dudes with only $1,000, not each, by the way, shared for 11 days in Brooklyn and some parts of Manhattan. It was crazy.
How did the... I mean, I was just curious. Out of curiosity, how did the visa process got through so easily, man?
So, we were not sure if we could get our visas. Because I was flying to, like, Australia and then going to New York. We applied really fast. We had to... It was a headache, like, 2 to 3 times the application. And then, 2 days before I left for Perth, we got the visas.
Damn, just like that?
Yeah, and after the interview, and then we got them to write in, you know, a letter saying that we're going to be working here at this point of time, blah, blah, blah. So I guess that's how we got it. But the crazier part of it all wasn't the fact that we were just so, like, money-driven or anything like that. It was more of, like, holy shit, we're in America. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's so surreal. We've never been to New York, blah, blah, blah. And when we came back, I realized that we were back to ground zero.
Yeah.
So that was when I actually went out and raised our first round of investment. And that's how K&A started.
Wow. And then you managed to secure investors right away?
Yeah. So we had 2 investors on board.
Wow, that is fast, man.
Yeah, because I put out a proposal deck for this other company. So they bought in and they pumped in, you know, you should know. Yeah, you know, they pumped in quite a bit. And then we started off just, you know, with 15 people. And then we scaled to 30 and then 40, right? But, you know, things changed after that.
30 and 40?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, we were just
that insane. Is big, man.
We were hiring insanely wrongly. Is that even a word?
Yeah.
I guess being 22, seeing that kind of growth, you kind of lose track sometimes, you know? You don't know what's right, what's wrong, and then you've never worked corporate. You don't really know structure. But then you think it's right because you see a lot of business coming in and you see your team expanding.
Yeah.
And to you, it's just, wow, this is right. But in the eyes of many people, like, this is a death sentence, you know? And that's what happened. So we scaled really fast and we couldn't manage that, right? We couldn't manage that scalability. And in the end... you know, KNA 2017, 2018, was it? I can't remember. 2018, yeah.
Okay.
So we retrenched, like, you know, half our team.
Mm.
And that was, like, I would say, like, I would honestly say, like, 2018 was one of my darkest years, man. Out of, like, the 5 years, 6 years of being my own entrepreneur, 2018 was the worst, right? But it was so bad that it was so good because I learned so many things out of that problem, right? How to restructure, how to get back my own feet, you know, how to pay a shitload of debt, you know? And those realities kick in so hard, man.
You went through it all, man.
Yeah, right? So it was a good experience. Yeah. And I'm so glad that that happened because if that didn't happen, I would probably have just gone out and gone apeshit on the whole acquiring more clients, more customers, and not think about, like, you know, staff members, think about what they need best, because I was just insanely crazy.
To my knowing, right, this is not the first time that you went through such hardship, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
that many, like, tough times.
And I remember there was this one phase where you and a business partner of yours, you guys were about to open a cafe.
Oh yeah, I didn't talk about that one.
Yeah,
that, oh shit.
That one is a big one.
Oh yeah, man, that was one, like, was crazy.
In between Menage and KA, right?
Man, we didn't talk about that one, huh?
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about that one. Yeah, shout out to my boy Jacob Whip Cream if you're watching this, man. You know what's up, you know what it is. You gotta tag him here, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So yeah, I met Hakim.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great guy.
So you met him and then this whole idea sparked?
Yeah, it sparked because, like, I was hanging out at cafes and I was like, how hard can it be to set up a cafe?
Right.
You know, you always think that it's easy to do something until you get your hands fucking dirty, right?
Yeah.
And so we got an investor on board and we got, like, multiple people on board, and it was just a lot of headache, bro. You know, a lot of swindling as well here and there.
Yeah.
And eventually it just didn't turn out. Like, you know, the cafe was built.
Mm.
Everything was done out, but we never operated, right?
Yeah, I don't know the truth to this day, man.
Yeah.
I don't even have the, I mean, it's not an import because people move forward, no look back kind of thing, but I'm sure there's a huge wisdom behind that, man. There's something that we could all learn from,
you know?
Because you almost, I mean, it's not even almost, you already made it happen, like the cafe that existed that you mentioned.
Well, I mean, Taufik didn't want to continue.
Taufik would be the investor.
Yeah, he didn't want to, like, continue operating the shop, and I was just like, I mean, it is what it is, you know, it's your money. We set it up, you know, we got everything in place. You don't think it's right, you know. Hakim wasn't very happy as well. I wasn't happy because I felt like it was such a burden, so we just decided, like, hey, we're not moving forward with this, so we just resigned as directors.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Well, what would be the greatest thing that you've learned from that that event that happened?
You gotta know your partners.
Wow.
Like, you can't go into business with somebody just like that.
Yeah.
Never ever go into business with somebody that, you know, you just met, or somebody that you're not very sure of. Not saying because they're bad or anything like that. You could be an equal motherfucker. I'm not saying I'm a saint, you know.
Yeah.
I've got my own days, right? But it's more of, like, if you're going to business with someone, you gotta really think it through. Like, you gotta really, like, weigh it out and then see like if it's feasible, you know, like, down the road. And if you don't do that, you're just like, oh, let's go and do this, pop, 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 right away. You're probably going to end up in a lot of shit.
Okay. apart from business, music, and entrepreneurship, and starting new things, what would be other things that that you would call as your passion, man?
Right. So I'm into fitness.
Fitness.
Crazy.
This is something new, right?
Yeah. Right now, I'm just crazy into fitness. Slacking over the last year or so.
Yeah.
But fitness, and then also the whole idea of exploring more opportunities as a digital nomad, if I ever get that opportunity one day. Knowing that travel is also one of the things involved. So traveling is probably one of my many, hobbies,
right,
you know, as and when.
Cool.
I was in New York in December again, and that trip really helped me out a lot. Really just to evaluate, like, where I want to go, what I want to do in life. And then my recent Bali trip also with the boys, like, that helped me out a lot, think about a lot of things. I guess every time I travel as something that I like doing, I come across a lot of different potential, right? And different things that I could potentially do. And I think the number one thing that really hypes me up when I'm traveling is the fact that I get to network.
Yeah.
You know, just connect. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just go down to the coffee shop and look at that motherfucker there and just say, hey, what's up? Where are you from? Because, you know, like, you know, these peeps are all like foreigners as well. You're a foreigner as well.
Yeah.
And you just hang out and things just resonate.
Yeah.
You know, so I enjoy that part. I really enjoy that. The other thing is just reading and writing as well, man.
Mm.
Yeah. Still write till now.
Yeah.
A lot.
You mentioned fitness, and also from my observation that you went through such hard times at an early age, right?
Yep.
Do you think fitness, like keeping yourself fit physically,
yeah,
would help you through the tough times mentally?
Right.
Do
so,
you think it's in sync? Goes hand in hand?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, a lot of people can... I mean, what I went through in 2018 was probably like borderline, like you could go and see a psychiatrist, man.
Yeah.
but you know, of course I didn't result to that, because I mean shit happens, right?
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, for me, like fitness and getting yourself in shape and like sticking to a routine and a certain discipline is very important when you're going through tough times.
Mm.
Because it allows you to, you know, take up that 1 to 2 hours in a day to really just be with yourself and think about what you want, you know, how you're going to fix things better. Because throughout the whole day, you know, when you're doing normal shit, you're just going to be focusing on how to solve the current problems that you have.
Yeah.
So like keeping yourself in check, keeping yourself fit, you know, your mind in tune, it really does go a long way. And I would say like, do that in the morning, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apart from that though, like if you think about it, like right now these days, we're not gonna lie, like people are going through some depressing shit and they're just hiding behind closed doors, right?
Yeah.
And most of them result
to drugs. Yeah.
Drugs. I mean,
or alcohol.
Alcohol and just like getting out of the problem and numbing themselves, right?
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. Do you think what would your advice be, since you overcame that? You cross over.
Yeah.
You know, what would your suggestion be or advice be for these people who's going through it, man?
Right. So when I was much younger, I mean, I was hooked on to like, you know, a lot of pot, man.
Mm.
And it was crazy. I couldn't get off the stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And alcohol was also like, alcohol, you know, is also a vice.
Mm.
You know, it was also a vice. And I just drank whenever I felt like I need to get out of a situation, right?
Mm.
But, you know, for me, it really depends. Like, it's subjective. Like, some people see it as like, you know, a once in a blue moon thing. And obviously you've got religious boundaries as well, yada yada, because I'm a Muslim. But for me, it's like, it should never be consumed. I mean, I got nothing against people who want to do drugs or like alcohol, man. Like, if you want to do that shit, go for it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying you should do it, but if that's what you do and you know how to control your shit, then whatever, man.
Yeah.
That's your part. But I would never say like, do that shit because you're depressed.
Mm.
Or do that shit because you're going through problems. You know, you can never ever solve problems by consuming something that will allow you to think maybe differently. No, it doesn't work that way. It always has to be your own self in your most original state, breaking down what you want to do and how you're going to fix your problems, right?
Mm.
So for those who resort to like drugs or alcohol, etc., whatever it may be, maybe they just haven't found that outlet yet.
Mm.
You know, like for me, my outlet would be fitness or exercising.
Right. Right, right.
Yeah. Some people just, you know, not to say they can't find the outlet, they just maybe haven't found the outlet.
Is it important to like search for it, or you think it will come by itself? Because with depression, it can go,
fluctuates, right?
Yeah, I mean, it gets ugly sometimes for certain people, like even with the help of, let's say you're getting pot, right? And then you're taking alcohol. And then sooner or later, it just doesn't work anymore. And then you need something stronger.
Correct.
You need something stronger.
Correct.
And then you get to the edge where, okay, now I'm just tired of everything. Nothing works. I just want to end my life.
Right.
You know? So, I mean...
Yeah, that's deep, man.
Yeah, people... I mean, that gets to people's head sometimes.
Yep.
If you don't solve it, if you just wait for, you know, like, solution, or maybe you're trying to avoid the problems. What do you think, man?
Well, I guess a lot of people who fall in this category maybe... They maybe do not have... they're not bad people, man.
Mm.
Number one. Like, I gotta be very honest with you. Like, people who are on substance, alcoholics, whatever you may call them, they're human beings too.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And they're not bad people. They're just people who probably haven't found, you know, a calling that would make them committed to something every day.
Mm.
So when they're not committed to something every day, they will resort to something that makes them feel most comfortable.
Yeah.
It's like your safe house. Mm. It's like their safe house, right? So they would feel like, this makes me feel comfortable. This makes me feel safe, mentally and physically. So I'm going to just resort to this. Rather than telling them like, oh, you know what? Fuck the drugs. Fuck the alcohol. Let's go hit the gym. To them, it's like, fuck, too many people there.
Yeah.
People going to talk shit about me. I'm fat as hell. I haven't worked out in a year. Mm. What's the whole point of doing this anyway? I'm not going to stick to it. So you have all these conversations in your head, and then you just resort to like things that make you feel comfortable. So it's important to be uncomfortable, in my opinion, number one. And number two, your circle, man.
Yeah.
Your circle is like everything.
Yeah.
That's like the number one fucking rule. Like, if you hang around people who do shit like that every day.
Yeah, I mean, your
then
friends.
Then it is what it is.
Yeah, your five closest people, you heard that a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You hang out with, yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. And even if you had, you know, even the five of your closest friends are doing such a thing, it's up to the five of you to decide how to change that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to leave those people. Maybe change it up together between the five of you to go and do some other good shit.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, it's just perspective, right?
Yeah, man. What will you say to them, though, when they're on the edge?
Man, I'm a very blunt guy.
Yeah.
So, like, there will be times where I'll just be like, get your shit together, man.
Yeah?
You know, like...
That will work?
I mean, even if I said, hey, baby, it's okay. You'll be fine. Just continue. Yeah. Will that work? Fuck no. So, you know what? I'd rather give you the truth.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, get your fucking shit together, man. You know, like, you're probably at this age already. You know, you have commitments, you got a family. Man up, man.
Yeah. Where do you think your strength comes from? I mean, I don't mean it physically, but your mental strength. Was it an upbringing? Was it because of the what happened to your within your mom and your dad that resulted in that strength?
My mom has always taught me one thing.
Mm.
Stand your ground. Two things, actually. Be firm. These two things my mom has taught me. And that has gone a long way. You know, and because of that, you also tend to respect people better. Why? Because when you're firm and you're honest, straight up, yes, it may sound sometimes maybe harsh or crude, but you're actually being more honest than you could ever be versus not being firm and honest with someone. You know, and that helps somebody go a long way. Yeah, and that's why if I'm getting shit from people and I'm taking it up like it's my problem, for me, it's like, okay. Learn from that.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of like, fuck this guy, all he does is say shit about me, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, people talk, right? And I'm very appreciative because people are very honest about them not liking me sometimes. Not liking how I run things, how I do things, and I'm happy with that. You know, because it allows me to understand myself deeper. And I think the one major thing that a lot of millennials or Malaysians in general have a problem with is the fact that you know, it's tough for them to be vulnerable towards their weaknesses. You know?
What do you mean by that?
What I'm saying is like, it's really okay to be vulnerable towards your weaknesses. It's okay to show people your weaknesses.
Right.
It's okay to let people know that you're weak in certain areas. You know? Because you're not a perfect being, right?
Yeah, we're all humans.
Yeah. And it's okay to look weak. It's okay to be soft. It's okay to be bad at certain things. You know? You can't always be this gung-ho, strong, thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then people always perceive you as like, man, he's got his shit, okay? He's okay, he's alright, he's fine. And then you see like next day, this motherfucker kills himself.
Yeah.
But you know, over the last 6 months, he was doing great. He was telling people like, pop, 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 pop. But nobody ever looked on the flip side of things.
I guess we all have our dark days, you know what I mean?
Straight up.
Yeah. And it's important to find balance. I guess balance is important.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I've learned over the last few years also that it's really okay to not know. It's really okay to be weak. And it's really okay to say that, I don't know this, can you please teach me more? You know, and that's also why I went out to go and work a full-time job again. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you are also a human being, right, Kairul? And for every human being, we all have our fear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. What would be Kairul Azim's deepest fear, man?
Shit. Good question, man. Well, I think number one for me, like, not preaching or anything like that, but I have a huge fear towards God, which keeps me, like, grounded sometimes. Not sometimes, all the time. keep you know, I'm not the most perfect being, but having that faith keeps me grounded. Number two is, you know, my fear of security, you know, in terms of like being able to know that I'm able to take care of myself. You know, that's the number one priority for me right now. You know, because as you age, you know, and my dad got sick last year as well. It was crazy. As you age and your parents start to grow older, like all these realities kick in, you know, and then you just start wondering, like, how do I make sure that I am for myself and I am able to take care of myself, you know, before I start taking care of other people. So I think 4.5 years, all I thought about was taking care of other people. You know, that was all I had in my mind. Just take care of other people and, you know, you'll be taken care of. But to be very honest with you, that's a wrong way to see things. Like, you got to balance it out. And you need to learn how to take care of yourself. Yeah, that's the number one ruler.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Apart from your mom's teachings, right? What would be the greatest piece of advice you've ever received throughout your lifetime, man?
Okay, one piece of advice. This goes out to everyone watching as well. Just do quality work and good things will come.
Yeah.
Right? So if you do things like in a very like half-ass manner, you're always going to get half-ass results.
Mm.
So that's one thing that I've applied in my, you know, throughout my daily routine right now. Like, if I wanted to see the kind of results I kind of wanted for my body, if like I want for my body, then fucking eat right. You know, if I want to go to work early, get on the bus, get on the train early. You know, you don't want to be late for a meeting, yada yada. Get all of your work done before that.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess you, when you put in quality into everything, a lot of good things will come. And it's tough to find quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So put more effort. Wholeheartedly, I guess.
Yeah. Because sometimes we have so many things, we half ass stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And we cut corners.
We have the aspirations to do too many things.
Yeah.
I guess.
And yeah. I've been a culprit of that as well.
Mm.
I wanted to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's not like that. You know, now it's more focused.
Yeah. If you could have a cup of coffee with any dead musician, bro.
Dead musician.
Yeah. If you could have a cup of coffee with any dead musician, who would it be, and what kind of conversation would you have with them?
That'd be easy, man. Freddie fucking Mercury.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah. And I would like him to call me darling, bro. Yeah. I'm gonna, you know, probably one of the main things that we're gonna be talking about is like, how do you fucking live life on the fast lane, right, and still fucking hit those notes, you know? And how do you play a sold out show with that kind of stamina?
Yeah, man. Yeah. That is something.
I mean, Queen,
right?
Is just insane, man.
Yeah.
You know, apart from whatever happened to him, you know, he's a fucking legend in my eyes.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I think he was his soul, you know?
Yeah.
The strength comes from the soul.
Yeah. And he wrote some really crazy good tracks.
Yeah.
You know, and the way, and if you read through his biography and you watch the documentaries, like, he was actually a very soft guy. Mm. You know, like, I mean, he's gay and all, you know, and stuff like that. That's fine. But he's very soft in a manner whereby, like, he's gentle with people.
Mm.
You know, even when he was going through his sickness, you know, he was very gentle with people.
Right.
And that was one thing that, you know, really triggered me, like, fuck, man, this guy's something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where I flip the script, bro.
Okay.
This is where I let you ask me any question that comes through your mind. One or two questions or I don't know, anything, man.
All right. Yeah. So Milo, why are you such a hustler, man?
Why? Why am I such
a hustler? I've known you since Hakim. Right?
Yeah.
I know you in Australia, right? And You make, you know, great coffee. And then production stuff and where you're at right now. Like, what inspires you, man?
What inspires me? I want to create something meaningful, man.
Great.
Like, not so much for myself right now, but what I can leave behind. Someone who asked me not too long ago, would you rather be famous while you're alive and not be remembered when you're dead?
Right.
Or not be known when you're alive and be remembered when you're dead?
Yeah.
I'd rather choose the latter, man. Okay. Bit by bit, so that it gives me meaning at the end of the game.
Right.
You know? It's not so much for the cash, not so much for the... Milo is doing it. So wow, he's cool. You know, he's doing it.
Yep.
There's no benefit from that, man. I don't gain anything. I don't gain any happiness from that.
Yep.
for me, it's just what I can create in the long run.
Awesome.
You know, but that's why I look up to you, because you execute well. And honestly, bro, that is a greater strength that any man who is attempting anything, right. You know. And I will apply that for myself, bro.
Right.
You know, with whatever planning, like you said, pre-production and knowing things beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, why hustle, bro? I guess we are on the same line.
Yeah.
You have the same focus as well, and you are doing the same thing.
Right.
And probably we are in a different lane, but our purpose would be the same.
Probably,
I think.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So, like, I'm sure you've gone through some hardships, right?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, man. And it's tough coming up, also trying to make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, this channel that you have, you know, I've been following it. A lot of people have been talking about it as well, right? How would you tell someone if they say like, yo, Milo, I want to create a brand just like you?
Mm.
What would you say to them? Like maybe three fundamental things.
First, know why do you want to do this?
Okay, purpose, right?
Okay, purpose, yeah. Right. Secondly, get to know yourself. When I say get to know myself, yeah, you get to know yourself. It's not about hoo-ha, branding, this is me. But get to know yourself. Do you really want to do this?
Right.
You know, okay, you found your purpose, but is it really you?
Yep, exploration.
Yeah, and if you know yourself and this is not you, you're doing it because that guy that you watch on YouTube are doing it, and then you're doing it wrong, because everything in life has challenges, right? Has the difficulty. And then when you get to a point where it's hard, you're just gonna stop. Because it's gonna be fun the first year. The first few months.
Yep, and then you're gonna get to a point where
And then the hardship comes, and then that's where the test of times comes in.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, then you're wasting your time. Like, right. If you're not really a chef, why be a chef? Your dream is to become a musician, then be a musician. Start from scratch. Be a dummy. You don't know any instruments, start. You know, just start doing it. So that's number two, knowing yourself. And then purpose, knowing yourself. And number three is make sure that your brand represents what you truly believe in.
Right.
You know, you don't wanna just go
do something for the fun
choose something that, like, oh, I'm all about the hustle, but you're not.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's a lot of people coming up right now. Hustle is like a big thing. Like,
it is.
You know, like, okay, maybe some of us are hustling. We're going through the eating shit and all. But they're not really hustling, man.
Yeah, it becomes very superficial.
If it's not you, then don't do it.
Yep.
Yeah. For me, the whole this purpose of this whole podcast is not to gain any traction to begin with. I just like having conversation, man.
Yep.
And most of the conversations that I had in the past were not recorded.
Yep.
And they were so meaningful. I mean, if you ask yourself, right? This is when you're talking about raw conversations. Of course, if you have your business, your branding, you want to target a certain audience, you have to script it and all that with business.
That's right.
But if you think about raw conversations with your cousins while you were high, that has the most meaning.
Yeah.
That conversations that I want to capture with human beings, the people that I find fascinating.
Right.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of this movement.
Awesome.
And if ever I get attention, wow, cool, bro. But know that this is not the ultimate purpose. This is just something that I enjoy doing, having a conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
At the end of the day, right, bro, when it's all said and done, how do you want the world and the universe to remember Khairul Azim as?
Shit, man, that's such a deep question, man.
Yeah.
We need to get high for this. For me, I just want people to know that, you know, I did something good. And I just pretty much helped people. That's all, man.
Yeah.
Two things. That's all I want. And, you know, relevant to that, I want to be remembered for the person who helped somebody grow or someone grow.
Yeah.
And that was the whole purpose. You talk about purpose, right? That was the whole purpose why I started KNA anyway. Because when we started off, we had this very familial bond where everybody knew jack shit, but everybody helped each other out to get to where we wanted to be. So that's what I want to be remembered for.
Wow, you are for sure halfway there, man. If not more than that.
Hopefully, man.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in like probably 2 years to come?
Probably still corporate, not yeah. gonna lie.
What would be the wildest achievement, short-term achievements that you think you could achieve in 2 years to 5 years?
Probably investing in more businesses, number yeah. one. Number two is more of me time to travel.
Yeah.
And meet new people. And get involved in a lot of creative stuff. Like, you know, I'm very much involved in like performance, X, conversion stuff.
Mm.
You know, which is always sales driven, always KPI driven. But you know, kinda wanna just like, you know, probably see if I could build another brand, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, have something more chilled, have something more, you know, fun tuned.
Mm-hmm.
You know. That's kinda what I'm
heading
do.
For.
Right? Yeah, next 2 to 5 years. Have All something right. more fun. Yeah.
Yeah, cool man.
Fun's
yeah.
important man. Like without yeah, that, you know,
have fun. You get
jaded.
Yeah, man.
And I've
for
experienced
sure.
it before.
For sure.
Yep.
Right. So I mean we all hear this saying that live with no regrets, the past made you who you are and all that. But if you could give one last piece of advice to the 15-year-old you, which is 10 years ago, right?
Shit.
One last advice before you leave this planet, man.
Right.
Let's just say it. You know, this would be your last recorded advice, and in the future we could time travel, and then you forgot that you could do that, and then you didn't manage to give yourself an advice, and this would be the last audio piece ever recorded. What would you tell yourself, man? 15 years old, Khairul Azim. Anything, man. Spill the beans, like.
Honestly, bro.
Anything that you.
Honestly, okay. I could tell my 15-year-old self 10 years ago. I'll yeah. be like, Khairul. Listen to everything your mom told you.
Whoa.
Yep.
Wow.
Listen to everything your mom said.
Damn, son.
Yep. That would be my only line. Because everything my mom said was true.
Wow.
I mean, that's for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know about other people.
Yeah.
But that's for me.
It's a great advice, man.
Whatever my mom said always became a reality. Wow. Facts, man.
Facts. Thank you so much, bro,
good,
for being part of Hello Loco Pico Milo podcast.
All good.
This is a
Thank
legendary
you, man.
Day, man. this is crazy legendary, bro. You feel
so
it, man?
Yeah, man.
10 years ago.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Milo.
Thank you, bro. All right, peace out.